I don't know if you picked up on this, but the first reading was from the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles, and the Gospel was from the conclusion of the Gospel of Luke. And Luke wrote two volumes to his work, both written to Theophilus, and to explain two things. The Gospel is intended to show how the second person of the Blessed Trinity, the Eternal Son, the Logos, was present in the body of Jesus of Nazareth, in the human body of Jesus. And the second book, the Acts of the Apostles, is intended to show how that same Eternal Son, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, is now present in the body of Christ, which is the church. And the fulcrum upon which this thing hinges is the Ascension, which is the feast we celebrate today. Luke's Gospel concludes with the description of the Ascension, and the Acts of the Apostles begins with the description of the Ascension. We sometimes mistake the Ascension as being Jesus went back to heaven and he's no longer here, and so that's all past now, and wouldn't it be nice if he was here with us like he was there with the disciples? It's something in the past. But actually, the Ascension is what makes the present so glorious, because now the body of Christ is not limited to the body of Jesus, nor to Palestine, nor to that language or that group of people or that age. It is timeless. It's infinite. And it's as large as the church, not only today, but for the last 2,000 years and for the eons to come until the final coming. There are several other things that are included in both of those readings. One is, you will be witnesses to the ends of the world. Now, witness, the Greek word for that is martyrdom. And martyrdom, of course, is when you die like Jesus for the proclamation of the gospel, the good news. You offer your life. It's paschal, in other words. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean literally that everybody has to be a martyr, but everybody has to witness. Witness is paschal. It includes some kind of suffering, and it includes definitely some kind of passage. The word paschal comes from the word Passover, and it's the Passover from death to life. So in the Exodus, for example, they passed over from their death in slavery in Egypt through the Red Sea, which was kind of a baptismal experience, and then through 40 years in the wilderness and into the Promised Land. It's a Passover from death to life, from slavery to freedom. Jesus passes over from death to life in his resurrection, and our Passover, Jesus is our Passover, and all of our witness has that character to it of passage. Now, the next thing that's mentioned in both of those readings is the number 40. He spoke to them over 40 days, it says. This feast has recently, 5 or 6 years ago, been transferred to Sunday, but it used to be called Ascension Thursday. You older people my age would remember that. Ascension Thursday is 40 days after Easter, and we all know how the church and the scriptures and the liturgy love the number 40. It's so big and significant. Why? Because 40 is a biblical lifetime. And in every Passover, in every Pasch passage, there has to be a dying in order for new life to happen. So it's a radical transformation of a former way of life to a whole new way of living, a saying goodbye, a dying to an older me, so that a new me recreated in Christ can resurrect and come into being. And so there are 40 days of Lent. They spent 40 years in the wilderness. There are 40 days from Christmas until the Feast of the Annunciation. There are 40 days from the Feast of the Triumph of the Holy, the Feast of the Transfiguration in August to September 14th, the Feast of the Triumph of the Holy Cross. Advent used to be 40 days. 40 is everywhere, because transformation is everywhere, because what we are about as Christians is welcoming the transformation that God is wanting to work in us. Now, one of the things that's significant about the ascension is that's when the river of life and of love that flowed out from the throne, from the heart of God in creation and emanated out, you know, left God and went away from God or out into space, out into nothingness. In the ascension, that river reverses its flow and goes back to God. So the second person of the Trinity, the eternal Logos, he is the Word. Logos is Greek for word. He is the Word that the Father spoke and it came to be. In him, everything came into being. That's what the prologue of John's Gospel tells us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and in him and through him, everything came to be. He was the Word that God spoke, and he was that outward motion, the spoken word that was creation. But that same author of creation, the eternal Son, he turns and goes back to the throne of God. So the ascension is the return to the Father of that word spoken, incarnated in Jesus, now going back to the Father. For one reason. And that is to intercede forever for us so that we get there too. You know, Jesus never does anything that somehow excludes us or says, I'm the Son of God and you are not. I'm rising from the dead and you can't. I'm going back to the Father and you can't come. No, he's always beckoning. He's always saying, what's true for me is true for you. And in that opening prayer today, it says very explicitly, the head of the church has returned to God, and the body is following in hope. Well, this is the beginning of what we call the liturgy. And liturgy is a Greek word that means the work of the people. And what is this work of the people? It's a cooperation, it's a synergy between the gift of the Father spoken in the Word and enlivened in the Spirit and the acceptance that you and I, with which we receive it. That synergy is the liturgy. That is the return to the Father. That is us, through our acceptance of the gift, diving into that stream and getting into the flow back to God. This is our salvation. This is what we're all about. This is the meaning of existence. This is the end goal, and we are on the way. These are the last days. These are the end times. When we say that, sometimes we think, oh, sometime eons in the future, in the distant future, just right before the end, those are the end times. No. The end times are now. There is no further going out from God. It's all going back now. These are the end times. And the liturgy is the work of the end times. And we are so privileged to participate in that. And so we dive into that river. We embrace the life of the Spirit. We give our acceptance to the gift of life and of love. We participate in that life and in that love. Divine life flows through our veins. And in a few minutes, we're going to commune with it by eating it and drinking it. We're going to become one with it. That's what salvation is. It's becoming one with God, who for all the ages has longed for us, has wanted this moment, these end times to happen, so that we could return to the place where we really belong, to our eternal home, which is in God.